It's good to be here. As always, we appreciate this church, appreciate your pastor, his wife. Just glad to be here. We thank you for all your work, hospitality. We'd like to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2. The theme of the conference, of course, is we see Jesus performing miracles during his earthly ministry. The miracles of Christ are my favorite topic to preach upon. I love preaching upon the miracles of Christ. But the emphasis of the conference is, as it has been for the last several years, is we see Jesus. And whatever your spiritual condition or state at this moment, your greatest need is to see Jesus. We'd like to turn to Acts chapter 2, and by way of background, leading up to what will be our text, what we have here, of course, is what is known as the day of Pentecost. The Lord's church is assembled. The Holy Spirit came in a miraculous and astounding way, filling them, giving them special utterance. And when word spread of this, verse 6 we read, the multitude came together. And obvious from what happened, it was a very large multitude. And they heard in their own language these men speak. And we're told in verse 6 that they were confounded. That is, they were astonished. They were mystified at what they were seeing and what they were hearing. We read in verse 7 that they were amazed. That is, they were awestruck. They marveled. From verses 7 and 8, we see that they were trying to figure out what was going on. Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue or language wherein we were born? So they're trying to figure this out. What is happening? What was being spoken and heard, verse 11, we notice, was the wonderful works of God. That's what was being spoken. That was the subject. The effect of this, the effect that this had upon those who heard, was one of doubt and perplexity. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So there's doubt, there's mockery. In verse 14, while all of this is going on, we see Peter standing up with the 11. So we have 12 people now standing. Lifted up his voice. So Peter spoke. All 12 are standing, but Peter spoke. And he calls their attention. And he says, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. And then in verses 15 through 20, he explains to them what they had just witnessed by going back to the book of Joel. In verse 21, he declares and makes known their need. He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 22, he again calls for them to direct. He calls their attention to Jesus. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. So he has now directed their attention to Jesus Christ. In verse 22, he proceeds to speak of the ministry of Christ. In verse 23, he speaks of the dying of Christ, Verses 24 through 32, he speaks of the resurrection of Christ. Verses 33 through 35, he speaks of the ascension of Christ. And he concluded by saying in verse 36, "Know assuredly, that is with absolute certainty, that God hath made that same Jesus," the same Jesus he'd just been preaching to them about, "both Lord and Christ." The result of this is they were pricked, they were pierced, they were pained in their heart, which caused them to say, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And we want to use for our text verse 22. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So we want to speak this afternoon, and we see Jesus in his miracles, wonders, and signs. And we pray that God would work a stirring and an awakening in our hearts concerning this one named Jesus. First of all, we want to see Jesus in his miraculous works throughout the Gospels. Again, verse 22 opens with, he's called their attention, and then he directs their attention to Jesus of Nazareth. That's the subject. That's the main point of focus. Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus needs to be our main point of focus. So here Peter say, Jesus of Nazareth. He describes him first of all by his name, Jesus. That is a God-given name. It is a name that describes his being. It is a name that describes his character. It is a name that describes his attributes, his power, and his mission. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It is a name, according to the book of Philippians, that is above every name. So that name, Jesus, is a statement of God's promise to save. It is a revelation of God's provision and God's sacrifice and remedy for sinful man. Peter says, Jesus of Nazareth. So he describes him by the place where he was brought up. A place that was generally thought of as a place of contempt. Jesus of Nazareth. But listen as Peter speaks. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. That is a man God displayed, God proved, God proclaimed. Jesus of Nazareth. The means of accomplishing this proclaiming of Jesus, notice what it says, by. A man approved of God, that is a man manifested by God, proclaimed by God. How did God do that? By miracles and wonders and signs. And then notice what it says. Which God did by him in the midst of you. So that phrase, which God did by him, remember the phrase back in verse 11, the wonderful works of God. What were the wonderful works of God? It was Jesus Christ working. A man approved of God. a man displayed of God. So when they were preaching the wonderful works of God, what were they preaching? Jesus. The miracles, the wonders, and the signs of Jesus. Well, we've got to ask a question. What did God display? What did God prove and proclaim Jesus to be? Well, that answer is found in verse 36.
Amen.
Both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
He proved Jesus Christ to be Lord and Christ. How did he do that? By miracles, signs, and wonders.
Amen.
He displayed Jesus Christ. And we need to see him as such, both Lord and Christ. Now notice the features of Christ's works. Notice Peter, in speaking of the earthly ministry or doings of Christ in this verse, uses three separate words. Brother Bowen mentioned these last night. He mentions miracles, wonders, and signs. And I believe each represents a particular feature or dimension of the earthly work or doings of Christ. The word miracles, as Brother Bowen alluded to, would accentuate the cause of his works. Again, a miracle is an obvious and manifest event. It is an event that supersedes the natural laws that God has established. It is something that cannot be produced by the natural laws that God has established. It is an event that is inexplicable by God's natural laws. But it's not just something unusual. A miracle is not just something unusual. It is an intervention by God's power. It is an intervention of the power of God. Miracles shows power. It's the power of God interrupting the God-established laws of nature. It is something that is absolutely above, something that is absolutely beyond the ability of man. They are the manifestations of the power of God. And therefore, 12 times in the Gospels, they are referred to as the mighty works of Jesus Christ. That's the miracles. That's the cause of his doings. It's the power of God. The word wonders, again, as Brother Bowen alluded to, accentuate the extraordinary results of these works. It's the awe and the amazement that was generated by these works, these God intervening. So the word wonders is indicative of the fact that his works were magnificent, they were incredible, they were absolutely breathtaking. And then the next word he uses is signs, which to me accentuate the intention of his works. The miraculous and wondrous works of Christ were not done simply as an end in themselves. In other words, Jesus did not miraculously provide needs just for the purpose of provision. He did not deliver people just for the purpose of deliverance. He did not heal people just for the purpose of taking away sickness and infirmity. But as the miraculous works of Christ, just as signs point and direct to something, so these works of Christ are signs. They point and direct us to something. What do they point us to? They point us to Jesus. They direct us to this truth that he is both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
They are signs that pointed to and demonstrated and set forth that he is both Lord and Christ. The word sign shows really that his acts were not without
purpose.
There was a purpose in every single one. And the purpose was not just to give sight to someone who was blind or hearing to someone that was deaf. It was to show that he is both Lord and Christ. They are signs. These miracles and signs are directly attributed to Christ. Each of the gospel writers, of course, give eyewitness accounts of these miracles, wonders, and signs. And each directly attribute them to Christ. Following the first recorded miracle there in John chapter 2, we read in verse 11, this is the miracle, this is the beginning of miracle, this beginning of miracles did Jesus. Did Jesus. It's directly attributed to him. 1 John 2 verse 23, we read many that saw the miracles which he did. John 3, verse 2, speaking of Christ, may he, it says, the miracles that thou doest. We read the phrase, the miracle that Jesus did in John 4, verse 54. And John 6, and verse 14. In John 6, and verse 12, or verse 2, we read a great multitude that saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And the miracles were not only attributed to Christ, but we read in John 15 and verse 24, which none other man did. No one else did. There was nothing else comparable. And has already referred to, these miracles go far beyond what is recorded in the Gospels. John 20 verse 30, John 21 verse 25, those verses have already been referred to. We see also that these miracles, wonders, and signs can be categorized. Brother Bowen alluded to this as well. The miraculous miracles or works of Christ during his earthly ministry can be divided. You can divide them into a lot of categories, but we'll divide them into four. Miracles over nature. In those miracles are miracles of provision. There are miracles of healing. There are miracles over demonic forces. And we know on three occasions there were miracles of resurrection. But no matter what the category, they are all actual and significant events. That is, they really happened. And they were of great variety. And they occurred in everyday life. They occurred in everyday life. And they met very definite and very specific needs. And every single one of them was an act of love, grace, mercy, goodness, and kindness. And every single one of them revealed that he is both Lord and Christ. And every single one of them reveals to you and I his absolute sovereignty, his absolute dominion, his absolute control. They demonstrate to you and I the preeminence of Christ. They demonstrate to you and I the providing, transforming, enabling, comforting power of Jesus Christ. They demonstrate the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Every single one of these miracles. And all through the Gospels, we see Jesus showing up in the lives of men, women, and children of various backgrounds, insignificant, unworthy, and undeserving people. And Jesus shows up and shows them pity, sympathy, care, tenderness, and kindness. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus showing up in dire places. You may be in a very dire place, but I'm here to tell you today, Jesus shows up in dire places. Amen. And all through the Gospels, we see him showing up in places and circumstances of grave danger. We see him showing up in places of utter impossibilities. Places of great wretchedness. Places of great need. And this is encouraging to you and I, because we can find ourselves in these places. But Jesus shows up in these places. Places of dreadful sickness and disease. We see Him showing up in places of contamination, places of corruption, places of brokenness, places of waste, places of devastating loss, places of utter ruin, places of distress and sorrow and anguish and agony, places of desperation, places of inescapable bondage. We see Him showing up in places of helplessness and hopelessness. And we see Him showing up in places of death. And in doing so, He brought about deliverance. He brought about rescue. He transformed people. He transformed situations. He gave satisfaction and fulfillment and peace and assurance and strength and courage and optimism, enthusiasm, and joy unspeakable. We see Jesus showing up in these places, giving people a new purpose in life. He still does the same thing. He's never stopped. Showing up in places, filling lives with passion and zeal. Giving people an entirely different attitude and outlook toward life. Oh, how wonderful it is when Jesus shows up in our place.
Amen.
And manifests Himself to you and I. Now in the miracles over nature, we see Jesus at a wedding, making provision by transforming one thing into another. And really, that's true of all Christ's miraculous works. That's what He did in every single miracle. He transformed one thing into another. He's the master at it.
Amen.
He makes one thing into another. Why did He do that? John 2, verse 11, this is the beginning of miracles. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory? That's why He did it. To manifest His glory. In these miracles over nature, we see Jesus entering into life-threatening storms and calming them. In one incident, of course, He stood in the midst and said, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He still does the same thing. That's not the only storm Jesus has stood up in and said, "Peace be still." How many storms you and I have experienced, and Jesus showed up in the storm.
Yes,
and even if He didn't calm the storm, He calmed our hearts.
Amen.
Which perhaps is even greater miracle than calming the storm.
Amen.
The apostles were struck with wonder, and they said, "Even the wind and the sea obey Him." In another instant, He walked in the storm-tossed waters, unmoved and unbothered, as if they were nothing. And I want you to know today, Jesus can walk on your storm. He can come to you walking on your storm, and He can also enable you to walk on your storm, as He did Peter. Another occasion, we see Jesus coming to the apostles. They had toiled all night in fishing. It says they caught nothing. And Jesus gave them instruction, and their nothing was turned into a great multitude of fishes. Jesus still does the same thing.
Yes.
On another occasion, we see Jesus providing tax money in a fish and then directing that fish to the hook of Peter. We see Jesus on two separate occasions taking insufficient means and abundantly satisfying a vast multitude in the feedings of the over 5,000, over 4,000. We see in all of these miracles over nature that He is Lord over the forces of nature. He is the one who can take nothing. He can take nothing and turn it into abundance. He is the Lord of providence. He can direct that fish to the hook. He's the one who told the lad in the feeding of the 5,000, "Sir, pack a lunch." It wasn't no accident that boy showed up with some fish and some bread. Jesus told him that morning, "Make sure you pack a lunch." He's the God of providence. He's the one beyond all human calculation. And I remind you that all of these miracles over nature were done with ease. Right. And they were done without the slightest tentativeness. Jesus didn't say, "Well, you know, I've never tried this before. Let's give it a shot." And they were all free. And they're all for God's glory. Amen. And the miracles of healing, which are my favorites, they're all pictures of salvation. We see Jesus healing multitudes. We see Jesus healing individuals, revealing that He is Lord over the multitudes and He's Lord over the individual.
Amen.
As well. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus giving strength to crippled legs, enabling them to walk, causing shriveled limbs to flourish, giving movement to paralysis, giving sight to blinded eyes, hearing to deaf ears, words to speechless mouth, cleansing to defiled lepers, relief to the fevered and plagued. On one occasion, we see Jesus and a centurion's servant, and someone's already mentioned this, healing this centurion's servant without even being present. Realizing, revealing that He is the one who spans all distance. He's God of the distance also. We see Jesus healing those who are at the point of death. Revealing that He is above and beyond the most dire and desperate of circumstances. We see Jesus bringing miraculous healing to people who were for a very long time in a debilitated condition. We just heard Brother Mark preach on the impotent man in John chapter 5. 38 years! 38 years means nothing to Jesus.
Amen.
On another occasion, there's the woman with the blood flow. 12 years! 12 years! She spent everything she had and went to doctor after doctor. And Jesus came and did what 12 years of doctors and expenses could not do. I think of the woman who was bent in two for 18 years. Meant nothing to Jesus. She could in no wise lift up herself. And it says that Jesus laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight. For 18 years she tried everything. But all it required was a touch of Jesus.
Amen.
And 18 years of suffering were gone. So it doesn't matter how long you might be in a condition. The Lord can take care of that. It reveals that length of time is not a factor to Him. In another incident of the healing miracles, when they came to arrest Jesus Christ, Peter cut off the ear of Malchus with a sword. And Jesus restored it with a touch. That tells me that Jesus can fix the damage that man causes. And we cause a lot of damage. But Jesus can fix it. There isn't anything you can do that Jesus can't fix. We need to always remember that. And again, remember, these were all done with ease. They were all free. They were all for God's glory. In the miracles over the demonic forces, we see Jesus entering the domain of demons, rescuing individuals from the enslavement and the misery and the despair and the agony of the powers of hell, revealing that He is Lord over the forces of hell and hell itself. And again, each one of these was done with ease. Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 20 that he cast out devils with the finger of God. That's all it takes. It's not difficult for him. In the miracles of resurrection, we see Jesus entering the realms of death, conquering it, and bringing life. There's the case of the daughter of Jairus. He took her by the hand, and she arose. There's the case of the widow's son. They were in the process of the funeral. It says he touched the bier, or he touched the casket. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise!" And he that was dead sat up. In the case of Lazarus, he went to the grave. And he cried with a loud voice. And may I say, he could have just whispered, it didn't matter. He could have said, "Lazarus." The results would have been the same.
Amen.
It says he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. It doesn't just say, "and Lazarus came forth." That's not what it says. That he that was dead came forth.
Amen.
He wants us to realize that. The emphasis is upon that. So in those, we see Jesus as Lord over death and above and beyond the impossible.
Amen.
In each case, it was done with ease. It was free. And it was for the glory of God. So in all of these miracles, wonders, and signs, we see Jesus as gracious, as merciful, as loving, as compassionate, as kind, as sympathizing. We see him as the one who can. He's the one who can. Always, always, always remember that. No matter what situation we might be in, he's the one who can. And he is the one who is above and beyond and superior to all. And he is the solution and he is the remedy to whatever it is that plagues man. In all of these miracles, we see that there's none like him. And if you could bring forth all of those who were healed and rescued and raised during the ministry of Jesus Christ, and you could line them all up, they're all miraculous wonders. Having been rescued from enslaved, broken, wasted lives. Rescued from misery and despair and the agony of a variety of powers. And they would all say the same thing. They would all say, along with the impotent man of John 5, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. Man with the withered hand, why isn't your hand withered anymore? It was Jesus. The woman who was built bent in two, why do you stand up straight? It was Jesus. They would all testify the same thing. They all would stand forth, touched, and transformed by him. All because of Jesus. That's true of all of us here today. We are miraculous wonders of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Touched and transformed by him. So in closing, we want to see Jesus in his miraculous works in our own lives. Again, notice verse 22 of our text. Miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. In the midst of you. That's us today.
Amen.
In the midst of you. Jesus Christ has done miracles, wonders, and signs. That same Jesus that worked miraculous wonders during his earthly ministry has worked in our midst. We that are saved, our whole life is filled with miracles. I want to say my life was filled with miracles before I was even born. Before I was even conceived, the Lord was working miracles in my life. By preserving my parents' lives, by preserving my grandparents, He was working miracles. And let us not forget that we came into this world as guilty, hell-deserving sinners before God.
Right.
Spiritually dead, sinners by nature and by practice, bound, imprisoned, shackled by sin and Satan, under the cruel power of sin and Satan. We came into this world defiled by sin, unacceptable to God, bankrupt before God. It doesn't get any more dire than the lost sinner. We came into this world helplessly trapped under the weight of sin. And we were sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the destruction and the loss and the misery of sin and death. And we were living in the darkness, living in the ignorance, living in the blindness and the confusion and the emptiness of sin. Living in rebellion against God. Living in resistance against God. Striving against God. So stuck in the condemnation and the ruin and the gloom and the chaos and the defeat and the disgrace of sin that I could not possibly escape. And I had no man, just like the infinite man, who could help me. And there we were, heading down the highway of eternal destruction. But praise be to God, while we were in such a state, Jesus sought us out.
Yes.
And He came where we were. And He broke the holding and binding power of sin and Satan. And He raised us up from the terrible and crushing weight of sin and death and condemnation. He reached way, way down into the depths of defilement and guilt and darkness and enmity and rebellion and bankruptcy and helplessness. And He brought us out. And here we are.
Amen.
Miraculous wonders.
Yes.
Transformed by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On our way to glory. And it's all because of Jesus.
Amen.
And I saw Jesus that day.
Amen.
February 17th, 1972, Herod Brothers Funeral Home in Frankfort, Kentucky. I saw Jesus in the greatest miracle of my life, the salvation of my soul. But ever since that glorious day, Jesus has been coming where we are. Ever since that glorious day that He transformed our hell-deserving soul, we have seen Him over and over and over again, showing up in our lives, performing the miraculous. And because of Him, I continue to be a miraculous wonder of Jesus Christ. How many times you and I have seen Him come into our distress and despair and bring us relief and comfort? How many times we have seen Him come into our sorrow and bring us joy? How many times we've seen Him come into our discontent and bring us contentment? He's come into our places of thirst and brought us refreshment. How many times we've been hurt, and Jesus Christ has come into our places of hurt and brought us healing. In our places of brokenness, and miraculously mended us. none of us would be here today were it not for Jesus showing up in our lives time and time and time and time again. We have seen Him come to our places of darkness and bring us light. We've seen Him come into our places of weakness and bring us strength, our places of weariness and bring us rest. How many times He's come into your place of need and brought you miraculous provision? Our places of uncertainty and has brought us certainty, and on we can go. How many times Jesus has come and renewed and restored that which was broken. Whether it be in our own lives or we've witnessed in the lives of others, Jesus comes into our places and He restores that which is broken, wrecked, and ruined. And we sit here today as evidence of such. Jesus can work miracles in homes. Jesus can work miracles in marriages. Jesus works miracles in lives. And oh, how many times we've seen Him. He comes to us in His person. He comes to us as the only way to God. He comes to us as the one and only door. He comes into us as the bread and water of life. As the great I Am, as the shepherd. He comes to us as our friend and as our rock and as our hope. He comes to us as the greatest of all. We've seen Jesus. We've seen Him. We've seen Him in our own lives working miracles, wonders, and signs. We've seen Him in the lives of others working miracles, wonders, and signs. We've seen Jesus. And right now, right now in this building, there are many cares, there are burdens, there are difficulties, there are problems, there are sorrows. Some may find themselves in situations that are overwhelming. In this building, there is represented a variety of trials and pressures, temptations, anxieties, clouds, storms, battles, struggles, obstacles. But we've seen Him. We've seen Jesus. And we know. We know that in Him there is light greater than any darkness you and I might be in. Amen. We know because we've seen Him that in Him there's healing greater than any hurt that you're experiencing. In Him there is strength greater than any weakness. Someone might say, I just can't go on. You need to see Him again. You need to see Jesus. He's brought you out of those places before. He can still do it. How many times we've seen Him and we know that in Him is a joy greater than any sorrow, and there is a peace greater than any upheaval, greater than any chaos of this life. And in Him there is victory greater than any defeat. And you may say today, well, I have failed the Lord. We'll join the club. But in Him we have an advocate for all of our failures. We see Jesus throughout the Gospels performing the miraculous. And we love to read about Him. And we love to talk about Him. But the wonder of wonders is that we see Jesus performing wondrous miracles in our own lives and in the lives of one another. And here we are. Miraculous wonders because of Jesus. And oh, that we would go from here today seeing Him. Seeing Him. We need to see Him. And that we would go from here with hearts overflowing with love for Him. With love for Him. We would go for Him from here with filled with courage because of Him. Filled with conviction because of Him. We can look at any situation in life and say, I know it's not hopeless.
Amen. Right.
Because there's Jesus. He could intervene at any time. We can go from here with great humility. Jesus has come into my life over and over and over again. He is there all the time. That ought to fill us with humility. That ought to fill us with thankfulness and praise for Him. And we ought to go from here trusting Him. Is there anybody that doesn't need a miracle in their life? We all need miracles. We need miracles. And we've seen Him in the Gospels performing miracles. We've seen Him in our own lives performing miracles. We've seen Him in the lives of others performing miracles. So it seems to me that if you need a miracle today, you need to go to Him.
Amen.
You need to trust Him. If you have loved ones that need a miracle in their lives, it could be children, it could be grandchildren, it could be neighbors, whoever. There's only one who can perform the miracles they need. And that's the one that we need to be going before.
Amen.
We see Jesus. I'm so thankful that I've seen Him.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that I still see Him today.
Amen.